Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios. Powered by Verizon. 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1. Lawrence, Boston. And Odyssey Sports Station. This is John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Leading into the preseason finale, all of a sudden his reps sort of decreased with the ones, and he started getting more run with the two, and then he obviously plays the first four series of the third preseason game. I know some people speculated, well, they just want to get him reps with Woodson. It was odd. And then you start to wonder, like, well, if they can't trade Duggar, maybe they'd trade Jabril. Turns out, to this point, they could trade neither. They're trying to basically say it's a scheme thing, to which I would say, maybe not the perfect scheme fit, but there's no way he's not one of your best 53.
I don't know how we're going to do this with three guys, but let's try.
The first voice you heard was Mike Giardi. The second voice you heard was Tom Carroll, who is in studio right now with me. And the voice you're hearing right now is John Lyons, hour number two. Tom Carroll, welcome in.
Thanks for having me.
Pleasure to have you. And Mike Giardi, and I had admittedly, I had not heard that Mike Giardi cut before my show this morning, because a lot of what he said, I also said in the first hour, in that this Peppers release to me, Tom, and I've been down there in training camp. You've been down there more than me. I found this to be pretty surprising. Like, I know new scheme, all that, whatever, but I mean, you've been down there a lot. Were you surprised by this move?
Extremely. Yeah, it came as a huge shock to me. And I think Giardi put it best. He might not be a perfect scheme fit, but he's definitely one of your 53 best players. And I've been trying to rack my brain as to why this happened. And I think I've settled on Vrabel really is focused on bringing in a new leadership structure. And a lot of these guys that have been a part of the leadership in the last few years on that defense, Bentley, Wise, Jonathan Jones, they're all gone. So Peppers kind of is in that same mold. He was kind of in that class of guys that sort of became the veterans in that locker room. And maybe he wasn't willing to take a step back because he isn't a perfect scheme fit. So when they were talking with him, maybe it was a situation where he's like, nah, man, like, you look at my PFF grade and I'm still one of the best safeties in the league. And they're telling him, no, actually, we're going to use you in this way. We're going to use you in maybe that hybrid safety linebacker role, which I think he's tailor-made for. But maybe he wasn't cool with that. They said, you know what? Let's move on from him too. And they're going to move forward because Vrabel is really intent on establishing that new culture. I mean, I haven't watched Forged in Foxborough episode 3 yet.
Oh, well, then you missed Travis Thomas, Mego, and Billy Lanny.
Okay.
All three of them made it in.
Excellent.
You and I didn't, but whatever.
Well, what are you going to do?
Yeah,
but the first two episodes of that Patriots propaganda was basically like Vrabel new culture. It's a new culture.
The third
it's
episode was a lot of that too.
Okay, yeah.
So it was more training camp, but it was a lot of that.
It's probably going to be a fourth episode of that too. Like, that's the whole premise of this, is like the Mayo era was a disaster and now we have Vrabel and it's not a disaster anymore. Like, that seems to be the whole purpose of this thing that they're doing. So that's where I've landed with the Peppers thing, and I don't think it has anything to do with the off-field stuff, just to get that out there too. So I don't know, man. It's weird. It's really weird.
But if that was the case, and I'm not like disagreeing with you, because, but why wait until after cutdowns? And they did this with a few guys, because Kendrick Bourne was on the initial 53. Javon Baker was. Jabril Peppers was. All three of them are gone now, and it's like, all right, well, why were they here? And then the only real reports were, okay, they tried to trade Bourne to Minnesota and they tried to trade Duggar. Duggar's still here. Bourne they released anyway, which partly he wanted. I think this comes down to the fine line, and I talked about this last hour. If you missed any of it, Apple Podcasts, WEI.com, Carrier Pigeon, however you get your podcast, right? I talked about this last hour, though. This is the fine line to me, Tom, in football coaching, in that every coach has a scheme they like, of course. And Vrabel and Terrell Williams, just as an example, they want their defensive linemen to single gap and get upfield and be, quote, violent. That's what they want. Whereas Covington and Belichick before him, they wanted a two gap, all that stuff. So, you know, maybe a player like Lawrence Guy, just throw an example, or Danny Shelton, wouldn't really be a fit with Terrell Williams. And that's okay. But when you have a player like Peppers, who is that talented, you should be able to find a way to adapt what he can do into your scheme. Maybe it's playing him at linebacker, playing him in certain packages. I don't know. And look, maybe they were going to do that, and Pepper said, I don't want to be part of that. That's possible, and I will allow for that. It's just, to your point and to what Giardi was saying too, he's one of your best 53 players. He's probably your best safety. And look, I like Craig Woodson. He's a rookie.
We just don't know yet.
Jalen Hawkins played 600 snaps at free safety, but he's never been an integral part of a good defense. Hey, probably your best safety in Jabril Peppers. And I don't know, do they want Marte Mapu getting more reps in the box? Are they going to go three corners a lot with Marcus Jones? Maybe that's, the timing of it was weird to me, and I was not a big fan of the move.
They must feel really confident in what they have in Craig Woodson. And I remember talking with Craig Woodson early in camp, and he told me about how important Jabril Peppers is for him in his development. And he was a guy that the rookie was leaning on in the room and on the practice field for advice and looking to as sort of like that mentor. Now that guy's gone. So it's Craig Woodson's show, and I know you were very high on him coming out of the draft. He's a versatile guy, hard hitter.
One of the fastest safeties in the draft. Yeah,
played a lot of college football. So we're going to see it now. It's kind of interesting that this front office has had such a bad job drafting in the last few years. It doesn't matter who the head coach has been. The drafts have been
bad. The 2022 and 2024 drafts, you have two total players remaining from those.
And now you have a 2025 draft that you're going to have a starting left tackle for, a running back who I think is going to get more of the carries earlier in the season than you do, and a safety that's going to be your primary guy back there. And there's probably others that I'm not
and even a
not
receiver
even
and Kyle
discussing.
Williams that by
right.
the end of the year could have a big role. And
Jared Wilson going to be in the mix here too. So
could start week one.
It immediately becomes a very young team where this 2025 draft class is going to be integral into what this team does this year.
Yeah, this draft class, it's going to be a big factor on what they do this year. You're right. And they've had a few drafts like this before. Right, like the 01 draft class had guys that had to contribute right away. 03, 2010, 2012, 2018-ish. I know that draft class ended up being bad, but that first year. But what's the difference between those teams? Yeah, I think we all know what the difference between those teams and now is, right?
Yeah, and like those early drafts that you mentioned that were impactful early on, the guys around them were all veterans.
Yeah, you had a
right?
Hall of Famers around them. You know, and of course, we know who the coach was. You know who the quarterback was. You had other, I mean, Antoine Harris was a rookie safety in 2001 playing with Lawyer Malloy, Ty Law, and Otis Smith. You
exactly.
know what I mean? Like, it's a big difference. Eugene Wilson's a rookie in 03, but he's playing next to Rodney Harrison. Asante Samuel's out there in 03, but he's playing next to Ty Law. Like, again, I don't have to do
and
a whole
have
history
a secondary
lesson here.
Full of Patriots Hall of Famers. A front seven full of Patriots Hall of Famers right in front of him.
Yeah, like 2010, Rob Gronkowski's a rookie, but he's out there playing with, you know, Tom Brady and Wes Welker. Like, it's that's the thing, because I think this rookie class, they're going to rely on similar to those previous classes. And another guy, and a caller right before you came on brought up Marcus Bryant, and I bring it up because, of course, the caller was saying nice things about me, so I have to bring that up, Tom. But this is another guy, a seventh-round pick, who in 2023 was, you know, second team or first team all AAC conference, whatever that is, that he's going to be their third tackle this year. So it's like, and again, I think he has some potential. He's got some physical traits. He went in the seventh round for a reason, and he's come a long way. But like, that's another rookie that could be an entire, I mean, what if Morgan Moses doesn't play?
I think he's going to have to play at some time this year.
Is Morgan Moses going to play 17
games? Morgan
Moses,
exactly.
And I'm in the minority, I know, Tom. I think Will Campbell will be a good left tackle in his career. But what if he's not? And he's got to move to guard. And Wilson's, Bryant's been the guy that's moved over. So I think it's an interesting point by you that this is a rookie class that is going to have big contributions this year.
Yeah, and we have a text here from the 401 saying, Peppers lost the ability to lead last year. He can definitely play football and can crack offensive players, but the Pats releasing him for what they have is really not what they should have done. So, yeah, I'm with you, man. Like, Peppers going out last year early with his off-the-field stuff, like, that impacted his ability to lead the room to that group last year. I totally get that, but it seems like with a young group this year, like we're talking about, that needs veterans to lean on, he was a guy that has had success in the league, and now he's not there. So, I mean, now they're going to be leaning on Mike Vrabel, and this is why you have a guy like Vrabel who has all this experience playing, all this good experience coaching. He's the guy. It's his culture, forged in Foxborough.
And I think indirectly, this increases the pressure on a guy like Milton Williams and Christian Barmer and the pass rush and Keon White and Kalavon Chaisson, Harold Landry, all that. Like, I think it increases the pressure on them because it's just one less piece you have behind them. And I don't know. It was weird to me in the way they built their roster. And I was talking about this earlier, Tom. I feel like their roster is a lot better than it was a year ago. But I think we have to be careful in equating them being better or a lot better to being really good. Mm-hmm. Right? It's not this, like, their offensive line is a lot better. But if you also asked me, hey, what position groups are you most concerned about? I'd be talking about the offensive line and linebackers too, even though Spillane's got, like, I think that's something too. And you've been down there, like I said, a lot of training camp. They are better. But okay, how much better are they than a year ago?
In the Valley of the Blind, the one-eyed man is king.
That's okay.
So, yeah, the offensive line is much better than it was last year. But guess what? The offensive line last year was among the worst.
I think it was the worst
we've seen in, I don't know, as long as I've been alive watching the Patriots with a conscious brain. So, yeah, it's going to be a really, really interesting dynamic to see this team, who we all think is better than last year, but how much better are they actually? And I would just caution Patriot fans who think that this is going to be a 9-10 win season, that it's not going to be, you know, a shoe-in that happens, right? Yeah, so
that's fair.
If they win 7-8 games, I don't need Patriot Nation hitting the streets with their pitchforks saying fire Vrabel.
I think if you win 8 games,
that's a
you're
big
doubling
step
your win
up.
Total.
That's
it
a
is.
Big step up, and I know that teams go from last place to playoffs all the time in this league, but if you don't do that, that's not necessarily the end of the world here.
Yeah, and everybody points like Washington last year, but like,
That's an outlier, man.
But also, they're better. Like, what they were last year is better than what you are now, if that makes sense. Like, they're better. Let's got to take one quick call before we trend. Let's go to Coach in New Hampshire. Wants to talk a little Will Campbell. Welcome in.
Hey, John. Great show. So I know this doesn't sound normal for a normal fan, but I taped the beginning of the first three preseason games. I wanted to look at Will Campbell as a run blocker, a pass blocker, a puller down the line of scrimmage, and a puller in the screen game. Guys, I'm serious when I say this. I know football. There's a reason why he was the first offensive lineman taken off the board. we have something here. There'll be growing pains, but I think right now he's your most talented offensive lineman. But I do agree, John, with your assessment that that doesn't make the O-line, the entirety of the O-line. It makes it better than a year ago by a lot, but not like a top 10. And the last point I want to make is the one cut that really, as a fan, hurt me. It doesn't. I understand the cutting of Kendrick Bourne from a wide receiver talent standpoint, probably a WR 3 or 4. But, God, I loved his energy, his positivity, his ability to be a great teammate. That one hurts.
Coach,
thanks
for the call. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Coach.
I know a lot of people don't care about this. Watch Will Campbell as a pulling tackle or in the screen game, and he is awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like you have a fellow sicko up there in New Hampshire
I wasn't going to bring that up because I'm like, all right, how many listeners will really care about that? But the caller brought it up, and I'm like, all right, man, Will Campbell is
no,
a pulling tackle.
No, look, everything Coach said makes sense for Will Campbell. Like, he's a freak athlete.
Yeah.
There's a reason
like he's
why.
Right. He is their most talented offensive. He's one of their most talented offensive players.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, seriously. Like
he dominated the underwear Olympics in Indianapolis.
Yeah.
And it's because he is that freak athlete. He just has these short arms. So we're worried about what he's going to be like in pass protection.
And his Kendrick Bourne point, let's get into that in a little bit more coming up. And we also are going to give you, Tom Carroll and I, our NFL predictions. Who's going to win divisions? Who's going to contend for the Super Bowl? Maybe even some MVP, Rookie of the Year stuff. If you're into betting, you can listen to Tom. I'm not really getting, but I'll give you my predictions as well. We're going to do all that and more right after we trend with Brian Furzocco.
In the Valley of the Blind, the one-eyed man is king.
Fun fact, you can't get pregnant every day. You're only fertile for 6 days, ovulation day and the 5 days leading up to it. Natural Cycles is the only birth control app that can pinpoint your fertile window by analyzing your hormone-driven temperature trends. It's more than just a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Boo!
This is John Lyons on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI. I'm John Lyons. Alongside Tom Carroll.
Hi.
Tom, this is interesting because usually when I'm here on weekends, there's like two human beings in the entire building. But today we have me and you. We have Brian producing. He's training Jason, who is also producing. And then in the back studio, we have the Abington legend Zach Coe now here getting ready to produce the Red Sox. There's actual
full house, baby.
There's actual human beings here. I'm a little surprised. We are going to get into our NFL predictions, folks. If you want to join in with yours, 617-779-7937. Before we do that, I do want to take a quick call. Will in the car wants to talk Patriots. Will, welcome in.
Thank you. And, you know, I think the last time we spoke, you know, we both sort of said, let's pump the brakes. Let's temper our enthusiasm. Let's separate reality from fandom. And that's where I'm at. Sounds like that's where you're at. And I called Sean because I'm thinking about, you know, they were just so disappointed that we didn't get Micah Parsons. And my case is we're not ready for that. We're not ready. You know, we talk about how the cabinets are empty and right. And the Packers have been doing what the Patriots need to. Stock up, have a solid quarterback, have a very good wide receiving crew, go get a stud wide receiver, shore up pieces on defense. Now be ready to take the final run. And I get that Parsons isn't always available. Yes, they are. Those types of contracts disputes will always be that, and you'll have an opportunity. So I'll end and listen, but I'll end with six wins. I'm not even looking at the schedule. Six wins.
Six. And Will in the car. Thank you for the call.
I 100% okay, agree so with Will on this.
One thing. Six wins would not be enough for me. I think it's going to be at least seven. But all due respect to Will in the car.
It's a realistic number.
He's not unrealistic. I would want more. The Parsons thing, before we get into our NFL predictions, because I was thinking about, we'll talk about this later, but let's get to it now. You agree with him.
100%.
Okay, why?
They are not ready to be relinquishing two first-round picks and a player for a guy on any level. I don't care who they're getting.
And who do they have that's a Kenny Clark-ish play? Like, is it Keon White?
Exactly. A guy who has upside, and you want to see what you can get out of him.
And look, Parsons is 26. I think he's a future Hall of Famer. Like, he's an unbelievable player. But it's not the money. It's if you were going to outbid Green Bay, it would have been two firsts and maybe a third or fourth on top. And where they're at in their rebuild, I think they're going to win 9 games this year. But that's still, what, the 15th or 16th pick? So you're going to give that up? Maybe a pick in the 20s next? That's a
You need to start hitting on draft picks. This is why your offensive line looks just like it does right now.
And you just paid Milton Williams $100 million to, again, he's not the same position, exact same player, but to be a good pass rusher. Like, you just paid him $100 million.
Years from now, if you want to be paying Milton Williams or the Milton Williams equivalent what you're paying him and go out and use draft pick compensation to get a guy like Micah Parsons, then that's okay. But where they're at right now, they cannot be doing that.
Like, if they had traded for Micah Parsons, I wouldn't sit here and be angry about it. Like, he's a great player. He'd help them win. But would it be like T.J. Watt with the Steelers, where you have this elite defensive player but the rest of your roster isn't quite strong enough so you win 8 or 9 games every year? Or Myles Garrett with the Browns, where it's this elite defensive player, but the rest of your roster isn't good enough so you can only go so far. Like, the Lions have Aiden Hutchinson. He could win Defensive Player of the Year, but the rest of their roster is really, really
right,
good,
because
too.
They've been hitting on draft picks.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of when the Bears traded, years of draft pick compensation
and they were
to get
good
Khalil
early.
Mack. They weren't good enough, right?
And that was the double doink field goal year, too, of all things. And that's when they had Mitch Trubisky, and they mistakenly thought he was going to be good, too.
Yep.
They were but you're right. They gave up a lot because they thought they were in the position to do it, and they ended up not being in the position to do
Bingo.
It. Whereas Green Bay, they could win the Super Bowl.
Absolutely.
That's where it's
a great move by Green Bay.
Yeah,
it's an awful move by Dallas, but that's a different conversation for a different day.
Yeah, I know. And, I was even thinking, when was the last time the Patriots made any – okay, they signed Adalius Thomas to a lot of money. They signed Stephon Gilmore to a lot. But those were teams that were great.
Yep.
And those were guys that were great. And that was only money. I don't know. I couldn't. But let's get to, Tom, some NFL predictions.
Let's do
it. It's one of my favorite things to do every year. So let's get the music in the background here. Yeah.
Where's Steve Sable?
All right. So
we don't have Steve Sable. We have Brian Frazoca.
Yeah, I'm not sure where he is, Tom. Brian, our producer, is going to read off different categories, divisions, Super Bowl, offense player, defense player of the year, all that. And we're going to react. So, Brian, the floor is yours. What do you got?
All right, let's start off in the Patriots division. Who will win the AFC East in 2025?
So I'm going to go with the Bills here. It's still the Bills division. I think they win 12 games. They're really good. I don't know if their AFC championship game good. Like, with Josh Allen, Tom, I think the window is always open. I don't know if it's as open as it was last year and the year before, but I think it's the Bills. One other thing, sneaky last place team in the AFC East, Miami Dolphins. They're going to finish last in the AFC East, but Tom, to you.
I agree with you on both fronts. I'll keep it brief. Bills, minus 260 to win the division. I think that's easy money. Go with the Bills.
All right, let's move to the AFC North.
Ravens to me. They were an elite team last year. They added Jaire Alexander. I do have some concerns about their coaching in big moments, all the penalties and little mistakes they commit. But on the whole, I think they're going to win 13 games. Like, they're going to be really good.
Yep. I think the Ravens are going to be the team in the AFC North. I think the rich got richer this offseason, minus 155 to take that division. I think the Ravens actually have a deep playoff run this year, and we'll get to that later on.
All right, let's go to the worst division in football, in my opinion, the AFC South. Who's winning that?
Yeah, I don't think it's just your opinion. I think it's pretty freaking bad. I would go with the Houston Texans on this. I agree. I think the Titans could be the worst team in the NFL or one of. The Colts, Daniel Jones is their starting QB. The Jags, I like Liam Cohen. I like Travis Hunter, but they feel like they're 2 years away. I think it's the Texans and nobody else.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to pick the Jaguars because they're fun to me, but I ultimately went with the Texans plus 115. And I think they had kind of a season from hell last year, a lot of injuries. Yeah. And CJ Stroud kind of took that sophomore slump step back. I don't know. I think they bounced back a little bit this year. Give me the Texans.
Duval.
All right, let's go to the AFC West.
I think there's going to be three playoff teams in the AFC West.
I think it's a good division, man.
And look, I don't think the Chiefs are going to be as dominant as they've been. I think they're going to lose in the divisional round, maybe even the wild card round. But they're still going to win the division, I think. I think they sneak it out. I think it's like they're going to win 12 games and, you know, the Chargers might win 11, something like that. So I don't think the Chiefs are as good as they've been, but I still think they win the division.
They won 15 games last year. Give me the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Minus
and they didn't even feel like as good last year.
No, they didn't. Like, it was one of the worst.
Like, and they're in the Super Bowl. Like, think about what I'm saying. Like, oh, they didn't feel as good, and they're in the freaking Super Bowl.
It was probably the worst 15-win team in NFL history, if that's a thing
that
exists.
What a sports radio take. They're the worst 15-win team
honestly,
in NFL history.
No,
that's
I thought
a good
they were going to get demolished in that Super Bowl.
Give this man a Marconi. That's unbelievable.
Give me the Chiefs.
Yeah. They went to the Super Bowl, yet they still sucked. That's impressive. Give me your three wild cards in the AFC in order.
All right. So for me, it's going to be the Bengals as the first wild card, the Chargers as the second. And this is where it gets interesting, because I think that final wild card spot is going to come down to the Patriots, the Steelers, and the Broncos. I'm going to go with the Broncos. As much as I wish it would be the Patriots, I would love that. I think the Broncos defense is too good. And okay. Peyton's legit.
Yeah, okay. We have a good amount of crossover here. I'm going with the Bengals minus 150 to make the playoffs. You know, I think that they were one of the best non-playoff teams in NFL history last year. That offense was amazing. Give me the Broncos minus 122 to make the playoffs. I think that they have a really good defense. I like Bo Nix coming into year two. And every year, a team kind of comes out of nowhere and makes the postseason. So I went a little off the grid here. Give me the Raiders plus 290 to make the postseason. And look, you see plus 290.
Okay.
That tells you that there is some action on this team to make the postseason. They got some young talent coming in. They got a new coach. Give me the Raiders.
And the Raiders come in here week one for the Patriots.
I think it's not a gimme, clearly.
I agree. And the thing, people think new head coach, new quarterback. But Pete Carroll and Geno Smith spent years together in Seattle.
Right.
Like, they've worked together before, and that is a Hall of Fame head coach. So I don't agree, but I see where you're coming from.
It's just like
sneaky, interesting pick.
Sometimes
there.
You just need to throw a dart at the dartboard when you're doing predictions
like
this. I
get what you're saying,
and
though.
And that's like, why I went with the Raiders.
I didn't think of that, but I'll give you the logic there. I will.
All right, let's move to the NFC. Who will win the NFC East?
The Eagles. This is the best roster in the league.
Yeah, let's not even spend a ton of time on it. Eagles minus 145.
All right, let's go to the NFC North.
The Green Bay Packers. And I think they just edge out the Detroit Lions, who have a new offensive coordinator and new defensive coordinator in Detroit. So I think the Packers just beat them out.
So I didn't consider the OC and DC change for Detroit, but I still am going to go with the Lions at plus 185 to win that division. I think that people, because of how things ended in the playoffs last year for them, kind of forget how good they were last year and how good they were with how injured they were. I think they were without, correct me if I'm wrong, John, like 13 different guys that were in the rotation on that defense.
Yeah, Hutchinson got lost for the year. Then Carlton Davis got lost for the year. Then there was the nose tackle. Is it Akeem or Keem? Like,
it's a lot of guys.
Yeah, so, that's what I'm saying. So all those guys. Yeah,
all just gone, and they kept winning football games. So now they're bringing everyone back healthy. Aiden Hutchinson's one of the best players in the NFL, period, on either side of the football. Give me the Lions.
All right, let's go to the NFC South.
I think it's Tampa Bay. And look, this division has been really bad for a long time, and I think New Orleans is terrible. I think Carolina is not good. I think Atlanta will be better, but not really good. Tampa Bay, to me, is the most complete team in this division. I got to go with them.
I'm going with Tampa as well at minus 105. I think Carolina is better than a lot of people realize. They ended the year really strong. I think the Falcons will be improved. I like Penix, but I'm going with Tampa. You know, I really like Baker, and I think this Emeka Egbuka guy is going to be
he's going to be really good.
I'm going to be targeting
him. He might have more
receiving
yards
drafts
than Chris Godwin down there.
No, absolutely. So give me the Bucs at minus 105.
All right, the division I think is the most wide open, the NFC West.
I'm with you on that, by the way.
I'm going to go with the 49ers here. And that's the team that, let's not forget, 2 years ago was in overtime of the Super Bowl, lost a bunch of guys to injuries last year. I think they're going to bounce back and win 12 games. And, yeah, I think they're going to win the division.
So I thought about the Niners. I thought about them having a bounce back season. But give me the Rams at plus 200. Okay. I just think they have a ton of talent, and I really trust McVay. I think that Jared Verse is going to have one of the best seasons in the league on the defensive side of the football. Puka Nacua now is like the true anointed number one receiver there. I just really like the Rams there. I like McVay. Give me the Rams at plus 200. I think the Niners are just, they're kind of, they missed their window.
And they may have missed their window. I think it's the injuries. And the Rams, to me, if Stafford is healthy, I think they can win double-digit game. Like, they almost beat Philly. They gave Philly their toughest
Absolutely.
Game in the playoffs.
That was a fun game.
People forget that. They had the ball with a chance to win late in Philly in the snow. Like, yeah, I picked the 49ers, but the Rams are good.
I'm just going to throw in a sleeper team. I think Seattle. They won 10 games last year. I think San Francisco lost a lot of guys in free agency.
A very quiet 10 games.
Very quiet 10 games.
The quietest 10-win team
in NFL history.
They bring in Cooper Kupp. I don't like any of the other teams. I think Seattle could win it. Anyways, give me your three wild card teams in the NFC in order.
Washington, Detroit, and the Rams. And I will throw in one caveat. If Stafford doesn't play, I'll flip from the Rams to the Vikings.
No caveats allowed.
Okay.
All right. I'm going Packers at minus 194 to make the postseason. Vikings at plus 114. I know that the J.J. McCarthy thing is kind of a question mark, but I just think the rest of that roster is loaded, and I trust KOC. And again, off the grid, off the radar team to take a big leap, surprise playoff team. Give me the New York Football Giants at plus 590.
Somebody bought into week three of the preseason.
No, look.
There he is, Tom Carroll.
I want to make it clear. This has nothing to do with what I saw at MetLife Stadium. This has everything to do with what that front seven is going to have in Abdul Carter and Brian Burns and Kayvon Thibodeau. I just really trust those guys. I think Malik Nabers, when he was healthy last year, was as explosive as it gets in the NFL. And I just think that Brian Daboll is a good coach. I thought last year was kind of a year from hell. 2 years ago, they won a playoff game with, I think, a worse roster. So give me the Giants. I think Jackson Dart's actually going to be pretty good.
All right. Who will be in the AFC Championship game?
I think the Ravens defeat the Chargers in the AFC Championship game.
Wow. You really like the Chargers.
I do. And I know Rashawn Slater's not there. I get it. But I think this is just they add Mekhi Becton. They add Amari and Hampton, like, with Jim Harbaugh. Like, that's a really, really good team.
I'm just, like, so done with Herbert, man.
This is the last chance for him with me, though.
Yeah.
If they're not good this year, I'm never picking them again.
Okay. Yeah. That's where I'm already at with Herbert. That's why you're not seeing the Chargers in any of my things. I'm going Ravens over Bengals. I think we're going to have
that was my next pick. AFC if I had North. Picked the Chargers, it would have been the Bengals.
Yeah. I just think that offense was so good last year, and I think that they're going to be able to harness it. I think Higgins is amazing. I really wanted New England to figure out a way to bring him in. So give me Ravens over Bengals.
All right, who will be in the NFC Championship game?
I think the Eagles get back there. They play Green Bay, and I think Green Bay wins. I think that, and you know what it is? I think the Eagles have the better roster, but 17 games back-to-back years, deep in the playoffs last year, again this year. Maybe they just catch them on a bad day, a little worn out at the end of the year, and Green Bay gets them.
I think we're about to be sort of like in the Eagles era here. I think that they're going to repeat personally. So just to, you know, spoil what we're going to have coming up later here. So give me the Eagles, and I think they're going to beat the Lions. I just think the Lions, what they had last year, they're coming back healthier. I believe in them.
All right. Well, this next question is not for Freeze Pops because he already answered it. Who will win the Super Bowl?
Baltimore over Green Bay. I think it'll be a fun Super Bowl. And Philly, to me, Philly Green Bay is a coin flip. I think Baltimore is going to win the Super Bowl either way, but Philly, Green Bay to get there is a coin flip to me. But I'm going Green Bay.
Okay, so I have the Ravens playing Philly in the Super Bowl, and if you bet on that to be the matchup in the preseason, you can get that at plus 1,900 right now. And look, that's a coin flip for me. It could be Philly, it could be Baltimore. If you want to go Baltimore, that's plus 700. I really think they have a true chance to win the Super Bowl. I thought they were going to win it last year.
That's fair.
I thought the winner of that Buffalo game was going to win the AFC, and then obviously the Chiefs had their black magic like they always have. Give me either Philly or Baltimore. I'll go Philly. When I wrote these notes, I went Baltimore, but I'm back to Philly. It's a coin flip between those two teams.
All right, give me your league MVP.
Joe Burrow, to me. I thought if they had made the playoffs last year, I thought he could have been the MVP. I mean, he threw for almost 5,000 yards last year, 43 touchdowns, 9 picks. I think they're better this year. I think they make the playoffs, and I think he wins MVP.
I think Lamar Jackson got hosed last year, and I'm going to take him again here at plus 550.
All right, who will be the coach of the year?
I'm going to go with Kyle Shanahan. Bouncing back with all those injuries to that 49ers team, I think they win the NFC West. I think he wins Coach of the Year. I'm not telling you he's going to win a close game in the playoffs, but I think he's going to win Coach of the Year.
So based on the way I gave sort of my division predictions, I wanted to color my awards to go along with that. So give me Pete Carroll at plus 1,500 to win Coach of the Year out in Vegas.
All right. And who will be the Offensive Player of the Year?
I think it's Bijan Robinson. The Falcons in the second half of the year last year, he played 70%. Of their snaps. I think that's going to continue. He's going to put up big numbers, Offensive Player of the Year.
I like it. My thing is these awards usually go to the teams that are like in the playoff mix, right?
Fair.
So that's why I kind of was trying to stick on that side of it. Give me Ja'Marr Chase. Had an insane season last year, like video game numbers. And I think that the narrative is there for him to go out and win that award.
Who will be the best defensive player of 2025?
Jalen Carter of the Eagles. And he's a defensive tackle.
I like
tackle,
it a lot.
So, first of all, and he's only 24, I think this dude is already on a Hall of Fame track. He's unbelievable to watch. Only 4.5 sacks last year, again, defensive tackle. If he can get up to 8 or 9 sacks as a defensive tackle and continue to terrorize opponents, I think he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year on an elite defense.
So 10 Defensive Player of the Year awards have gone to defensive tackles. So that it's not outlandish to think that he could win
Watt.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I like that a lot. And again, it goes to a really good team having guys win individual awards. Give me Pat Surtain. He's a guy
that
people really like. They think he's the best corner in football. I think Denver's going to be in the postseason. So give me Pat Surtain, and you can get him at plus 3,300 right now. That's amazing value.
All right, quickly, tell me why Travion Henderson is going to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
I think it's going to be Omarion Hampton, another rookie running back with the Chargers. I think they're going to run the ball a lot. He's going to make some big plays.
I'm going with Ashton Jeanty at Offensive Rookie of the Year at plus 300. Abdul Carter at Defensive Rookie of the Year at plus 250. I think Travion Henderson's going to have a good season, but playoffs going to be the trump card in those categories.
And finally, Defensive Player Rookie of the Year for you, John.
Donovan Ezeraku, right? The Cowboys just traded Micah Parsons. Ezeraku, I thought, was a really good player at BC. High second-round pick. I think he's going to scoop up some of those numbers Parsons left behind. He's going to win Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Love it, man.
And then Jerry Jones is going to be like, see, I told you.
You want to do an hour on BC after this?
Oh, we could.
I'm going to leave.
Abdul Carter.
Yeah, easy pick there. I hear you.
That's right. Everything, right?
That's
yes,
it.
It is. Those are our NFL predictions. You can take them to the bank. If you win money, share it with us. If you lose money, don't blame us. I'm John Lyons. It's Tom Carroll. We'll be right back because there is a big football game tomorrow night with a coach you might be familiar with. Used to coach around here. Bill Belichick and UNC has their first game tomorrow night. We're going to spend a few minutes on that and what our expectations are for Bill and how that could affect his Patriots legacy.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
I'm right up here on WEEI.
We're back to John Lyons on WEEI.
At night.
How do you think it's going to work? You know him better than anybody.
Well, I think it's going to work, but I think, you know, 70 new players on the roster.
Wow.
And, you know, Bill's strength as a coach to me is developing players. You know, how you engage with them, how you inspire them, how you influence them, how you impact their development to improve. And it's very difficult to do when you have that many new players in this short of time to get ready for a season and get ready for a game. He's going to have success at North Carolina.
Not talking about this.
Back here on WEEI. John Lyons. Tom Carroll has been here since 11 a.m. He's going to be here one more segment. Tom, really appreciate you coming.
Of course, man.
Makes my life easier on a Sunday
morning.
Yeah.
I love coming in here on Sundays.
Of course. Yeah, what better thing to do on Sunday? Like hang out at home, watch TV, or like drive all the way in and work with me.
Yeah, love it, man.
So, Bill Belichick at UNC, we all, you know, biggest story of the offseason, arguably, right? Like, and around here, we're thinking Mike Vrabel, Will Campbell, but in the football world, that was arguably the biggest story.
It's one of the biggest news stories of 2025, just the Belichick-Jordan experience.
It is. And I went down there in April, I watched a practice. Chris Mason of Mass Live went down there and watched a training camp practice a couple weeks ago. And the crazy thing is, from the time I went down there in April to the time he went down there, I think they added like 30 new guys. Like they have 70 new players. And I felt like that cut from Saban was kind of a tepid expectation.
See, I
like the
was
way he said, like, it'll take
here,
a while.
Man. Yep.
Like, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, he's going to go down there and they're going to be good. It was like, oh, right, he will be good. But it'll kind of take a while. That was a little tepid to me.
Yeah, so we all know that Saban and Belichick are boys. They're long friends, best friends, if you will. As good a friend as Belichick can have, seemingly, Nick Saban is. So when Nick Saban is delivering sort of let's wait and see here on North Carolina message on game day, that's telling me that Belichick and him had a conversation and that Belichick is telling Saban, hey, I don't think that this team is going to be a world beater right away. And it sounds to me like North Carolina is going to be a lot like that 09 Patriots team where you got him telling Brady on the sideline, hey, I just can't get these guys to play the way I need them to play. And it's going to take some time. I mean, 70 new guys? Yeah. I mean, they're all new guys for Belichick, on top of the fact that it's 70 new guys coming in trying to learn a new place to play and a new system. I think it's going to be a mixed bag year for North Carolina, and I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I can break down the Tar Heels secondary for you, right? But it just logic tells you brand new head coach that has never coached college before is handed an entirely new roster and just expect him to be able to give you magic. It's just not realistic.
And the guys that remain were part of a 6-7 team last year, right?
Yeah.
The guys coming back.
It would be different if he would be inheriting a team like Ohio State. Like we were talking about in the break, Matt Patricia looked awesome as a defensive coordinator with Ohio State yesterday, but he was handed a Maserati.
Yeah.
Belichick isn't inheriting a team that just won the national championship.
He's getting a Toyota Camry, right?
You know, exactly. Something like that.
Look, I think they can win 8, maybe 9 games, which is a big jump. To me, and part of this is my belief in how good Bill is as a coach.
And you are a Belichick sycophant.
Well, I can be honest about it. He didn't draft well from 2017 to 22. But yeah, I am a Bill fan. But a lot of it, Tom, is their schedule. Like TCU tomorrow night's a tough game. They have Clemson on October 4th. Like, that's a brutally tough game. Syracuse on Halloween. You look at the rest. I mean, they're playing Charlotte, Richmond, UCF, Stanford, Wake Forest. Like,
is that Stanford game in North Carolina or at
that Stanford game is in North Carolina.
Okay. Yeah. So that helps.
And like NC State, like, I don't know, like these, I look at these teams and I'm like, these teams aren't that good. Like that's my, it's more to me, they're playing is like, if he was going to the Big Ten or if they were playing a Big Ten or SEC schedule, I'd be like, ooh. And even the ACC, you and I talked about this earlier off air. I do think it's going to be better. Like Clemson's legit, Miami's legit, FSU. We just saw stomp Alabama. BC, like, he's not playing a lot of those. He's playing Clemson, Syracuse, and that's it. He doesn't have to play Miami. He doesn't have to play Florida State. Doesn't have to play BC. So I think that will work to his advantage that he doesn't have to play some of those teams. So I think I can see 8 wins, 9 if things break right. I wouldn't see more than that. Like, I don't think it's going to be a train wreck, but I don't see any more than like 8 or 9.
So it sounds like the logic you're using for Belichick to win 8 or 9 games is pretty similar to the logic a lot of people are using for why the Patriots are going to win 8 or 9 games. Look at the schedule.
It's a big part of it. And I do think they're going to be like the team that when I went down there in April, I'm watching practice. I'm like, all right, this team is better than what we saw in the Fenway Bowl, you know, losing to UConn. I'm like, this team's much better than they were then.
And in defense of that North Carolina team, Mac Brown had just been fired.
Right. There was a lot
going on. That's always
a
weird thing to navigate, and they were up here in the cold.
And UConn's making some progress.
Yeah, no, UConn won 9 games last year.
Right. So I'm like, all right, they're better. Their schedule's not a good. What I will ask you, though, let's say he goes down there and he's really good. 9, 10, let's say he makes the college football playoff. Does that affect his legacy for you at all?
I mean, it affects his legacy writ large, but if you're talking like New England specific legacy, no, it has nothing to do with what he did here. His legacy is cemented as the greatest coach in the history of the NFL. It was a sour ending. No one likes how it ended for Belichick here. He really screwed himself. The GM Belichick screwed himself putting together awful rosters down the stretch here. But ultimately, no, it has nothing to do with what Belichick did here in New England. And it should have no bearing on his inevitable induction into the Pro Football Hall of Fame, which could come as soon as next year if he doesn't somehow make the leap from North Carolina to the NFL this offseason, which I don't see happening.
Yeah, maybe he'll make it from North Carolina to Alabama. We'll see. Sorry, Kevin DeBoer.
They might need it.
I think it's not going to change how much I appreciate what he did here at all, but I do think it would help his legacy a little bit because if Tom leaves, goes to Tampa Bay, wins right away, if he were to leave and win right away, then he can kind of be like, well, see, it really wasn't me at the end. Like, it wasn't, you know, like, and I'm not.
Yeah, of course.
I'm not saying that would be fair.
Of course it can help
right.
bolster the overall
like,
legacy.
I think it would help in that sense. Like, yeah. Is it going to change Super Bowl 49 for me? Like, no, like at all. Like, it's going to change Super Bowl 36? No, but I think it at the because think about how many people, Tom, and you're on these airwaves, he's lost his fastball. He doesn't have it anymore. The game's passed him by. If he goes down there and they're 9-3 and they're in the ACC championship game, then I think those conversations end. And like, okay, maybe things ended poorly in New England, but he always was the GOAT, or he always was great. That's where I think it could come in.
Yeah, nothing he does down there is going to impact his New England legacy, but any scenario that happens this year at North Carolina is fascinating. If they win 9 games, if they win 3 games, if they're middling, it is going to be extremely interesting to see what Bill Belichick does down at Chapel Hill. And I will be tuned into as many games of his as possible. I will be locked in tomorrow night, which you can hear on our airwaves.
Pretty
here
cool,
on
right?
WEEI.
Yes, you'll hear it tomorrow night on WEEI. I will be locked in as many games as I can be this season for him as well. I'll try to go to one as well.
Oh, wow.
That was Tom Carroll. Tom, this hour flew by.
I know.
Thank you so much for coming in. That was some great football talk. If you missed any of it, Apple Podcasts, WEEI.com, iHeartRadio, wherever you get your podcast, you get your content, you can hear that last hour. Tom, thank you very much again. I've got another half hour here. We've got some Red Sox talk coming up, maybe a little bit more football as well. I'm taking you up till Red Sox pregame coverage at 12:30 here on WEEI.
Well, again, we want to continue to strengthen the roster, and I don't know if that's the players that you're talking about or some other players or how that may come about, but I know we have had conversations. We'll continue to have conversations about continuing to improve the roster, and then again, if it makes sense and then we feel like it's advantageous to us, then we'll consider it.
This is John Lyons right now on WEEI.
Back here on WEEI, final 25 minutes of the show. I appreciate all the calls and texts. This has been for a Sunday morning, Brian Verzocco. This has been a very interactive show.
Sunday morning in the middle of a holiday weekend. No
yeah,
less.
I mean, callers, texters, tweeters, you know, whatever you want to call it. Even though Twitter sucks now. Just kidding. Just kidding. As people tweet nice things at me. Yeah, very good. Thank you. So 617-779-7937. I am going to spend about 10 more minutes on the Patriots. And then the final segment, I am going to preview the Red Sox game today. It might sound awkward, but like, dare I say, a sneaky borderline must-win game against the Pittsburgh freaking Pirates? I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. We got to figure out, like, Jacob Lassner's down there in Pittsburgh. Maybe he's doing something. Pirates are good now. 1-8 out of their last 10. Whatever. But the Patriots are, I've talked about this a lot. Like, I think they can win 9 games. I think the roster's better than a year ago, but we have to be careful. Better does not equate to great, right? I'm not sitting here talking about the Detroit Lions roster, the Eagles roster. But Brian Verzocco, our producer, you said something to me in the break that I actually found kind of interesting, and I want to talk about that, and that was what?
Well, I think a lot of people are sort of downplaying what their expectations are for the Patriots. I think mostly just to so they can feel better about the end of the season. So if they do end up going 7-10, 8-9, maybe even 9-8, say, oh, successful season. And I really mean more towards, you know, the people who are saying 7 or 8 wins. And to me, that's not really that successful of a season. I look at their schedule and it is a cupcake schedule. And I know, you know, it changes and you might look back on it in a couple months and say, oh, maybe it was harder than we give it credit for. But I look at a lot of the teams that they're playing and I picture a lot of these teams picking at the top of the draft come next April. I'm being told by Patriots fans everywhere that Mike Vrabel is a very good head coach. I'm being told by Patriots fans everywhere that Drake May could be the next Josh Allen. He could be the next Justin Herbert, and that Drake May is already a very good quarterback. So if you have a good coach, if you have a good quarterback, if you spent a lot of money in free agency, and you have a very easy schedule, then you should win 9-10 games. And to me, if it's anything less than 9, I think you could kind of consider it kind of a failure, kind of a bad season for the Patriots.
So I'm at 9, and that's based off the offseason, what I've seen in training camp. But I think one thing I will say, I think you're leaving this out, Brian, is the depth is a real problem here. Like, you're right, their roster's better, the quarterback's better, the coach is better, but, I mean, what are the, if Hunter Henry, God forbid, gets hurt, like, what are they doing at tight end? If Robert Spillane gets hurt at linebacker, I mean, it's Tavai and Mate Mapu out there.
But, John,
that's the issue to me.
I don't disagree with you, but we focus on the Patriots, right? We're around them. You're going down covering them. Yeah. We see that their depth is an issue. I'm sure if you looked around the league and you looked at these rosters and you look at the backup middle linebacker on the Bills or the Ravens and you say, who is that guy? I don't know who any of these players are. So we sort of focus on it more just because we're around here and we see it. But I'm sure if you looked at any of these rosters and you say, well, you take away this player, take away that player, they're in a lot of trouble too. So I'm with you, right? I think their defensive line, specifically, you and Tom Carroll talked about earlier, outside of Milton Williams and Christian Barmore, I don't really feel great about any of the defensive tackles they have. But I'm sure if you look across the league, like, I'm a Bears fan. If they lose one of their defensive tackles, they're screwed.
Yeah, they still have Eddie Goldman there, by the way.
No, he's gone. Bears, long gone.
Remember Akeem Hicks? I liked him.
Loved him. Probably one of the biggest Patriot mistakes of the Bill Belichick era when they were still good.
And I don't know if you were here at the time. He publicly admitted they messed up not re-signing him, which I was surprised. But
that when he said he regretted the Gostkowski not kicking the field goal in Super Bowl 42?
No, that was in his book. By the way, his book, not bad. The new Brady Belichick book by Gary Myers, not bad either. Gives Brady, I think, a lot more credit than Bill. Okay. You know, but whatever. I could divvy up my own dynasty credit pie, but I won't do that right now. I would give Brady the most credit, for the record. But, look, I hear what you're saying, Tom, but I'm not talking about the backup middle linebacker, and I just called you Tom.
I just realized that. It's fine. I know who you're talking to.
Right. I'm not talking about the backup. Like, I'm talking about the guy who's going to start next to Spillane. Like, that's my concern. It's in safety now. You have a rookie and another young guy. Like, it's just the depth there. That's why, to me, if they win 7, I won't love it, Brian, but I'll feel a lot better than last. Because even last year, like, I kind of joked about this earlier, but it really was kind of 2.5 wins. Because the Bengals, you caught them at the perfect absolute time. You got a forced fumble from your long snapper, Joe Cardona, which was a huge play in that game. How many times does that happen? But, okay, that's a win. The Jets game, legit win. That Bears game, they fired their offensive coordinator a couple days later, fired their head coach a few weeks later. They've overhauled everything, and then the Bills tried to lose. So if they get to 7, I won't like it, Brian. See, you know, I keep saying Brian. I won't like it, but I will feel better. But I think my thing is I want to enter the last week of the season with 8 wins. And then if you win the last week, you go 9-8. If you lose the last week, you're 8-9. But because if you enter the last week of the season with 8 wins, we're talking about a team that's a borderline wild card. Maybe they don't make it. Maybe they're right there. But I think that that should be, if you're a Patriots fan, your goal should be early January, last week of the regular season, they kick off that game with 8 wins in their pocket.
See, and I agree with you, and I think that week 18 game is very winnable. It's Miami down here. Up here, and
Miami,
they always struggle.
I think they're going to have a tough year.
I agree with you, and I think naturally they don't play well in cold weather, even when they're at the top of their game. So I think that should be a winnable game. But, you know, I hear a lot of people, and, you know, Tom Carroll picked the Raiders to go to the playoffs this year, right? And he's, you know, already questioning week one. Like, why are you bringing in Mike Vrabel if you're just going to lose to Geno Smith and Pete Carroll? Like, you could have kept Jerod Mayo to do that. Jerod Mayo was already losing to Geno Smith.
He definitely would have done that, yeah.
So, just to me, like, there's all this promise, there's all this, you know, I just hear all these good things about the coach, the quarterback, you know, the roster. Oh, they brought in Stephon Diggs. Oh, look at the defense, Milton Williams, all the additions that they made. They've been picking at the top of the draft for years now. This has been 2 years, and really 3, because they were picking in the middle of the draft a few years ago. Like, they're picking at the top of the draft consistently. They're now spending money, finally spending money in free agency. You bring in a competent coach who's had success somewhere else. You bring in are returning your quarterback, who was the 3rd overall pick, basically a lottery pick at quarterback, who everyone's telling me is great, who already apparently had a good season last year, and who now, because you brought in Josh McDaniels, he's going to limit the turnovers, and he's going to get to play him at a high level. Like, I'm hearing all this stuff, and if all that's true, and I'm going to believe Patriots fans when they say that to me, then you should win more than 8 games next year against a really, really bad schedule.
I think, though, if you're going from 2.5 wins to 8, like, that is a huge jump. Like, all those things you're saying, that's a massive jump forward. And there's still, like, questions at receiver, you know, questions even at Pat. Like, I know Milt Williams is good, but there are some questions there, his snap count and all that. And I think the key to this, Brian, is the first half of the schedule. Because you look at their second half of the schedule, Tampa Bay, Cincinnati, Buffalo, Baltimore, even if you want to start with Atlanta on November 2nd, like, those are tough games. Whereas the first half, can you stack some wins? whether it's against Carolina, New Orleans, Tennessee, Cleveland. Can you stack up some wins? That can you, if you can beat Vegas, then can you beat Carolina, beat New Orleans, beat Tennessee, beat Cleveland? That's five wins right there.
I think people are already ruling out the Steelers game. That's at home against a quarterback who just had an Achilles tear pretty recently. A guy who kind of has quit on the last couple of teams. He's been like, why is that just not a winnable game anymore? Why is down in Miami just not a winnable game?
I think those games are winnable. I just, like Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers early in the season, I could see them doing okay. It's could things deteriorate there? And DK Metcalf is there now. Like, that is a good team. But this is a Steelers team that Bailey Zappi beat at the end of the 2023 season, right? I know it's a couple years ago. And Miami's an interesting one because every year, you know, Miami starts out 5-0, 6-1. Everyone loves, oh, look at all the motion they run. It's so cool. And then at the end of the year, they're 8-9, 9-8, maybe making the wild card round and losing. Like, they don't sustain anything. And that's a larger point. And I talked about this a couple weeks ago on air with Mego. Everybody loves the short-haired, tight-pants offensive coordinators. How many of them have actually won? Like, Sean McVay won a Super Bowl. He's an objectively great coach. But
I'd put Shanahan. I know he hasn't won a Super Bowl, but he's been to two.
I think in the key moments of Super Bowls, had some trouble.
Right.
Kevin O'Connell hasn't won. Right? Zach Taylor got to a Super Bowl. I'll give him that. Hasn't won. Mike McDaniel can't get to the divisional round. Like, everybody falls in love with these guys. And how many of them have actually won? Like, seriously, like it's something. And again, I'm not Cliff Kingsbury, good OC. They got worse in Arizona every year he was there. So that's, to me, I agree. Like, I do think Kyle Shanahan's a good coach. I think Zach Taylor's a pretty good coach. But is it also a coincidence that the Bengals start 0-2 every freaking year? Like, I don't know. So I think that's something that, when you look at this schedule, you look at it early on, maybe that Miami game, despite it being 8,000 degrees down there in week two, maybe that is a winnable game. But I think the reverse side of it is maybe that Pittsburgh game is tough, right? And then maybe you get to Atlanta November 2nd, and what if Michael Penix is good? That's a decent team. Like, they have a core there that doesn't suck. And yeah, that's the baseline, right? Don't suck.
Right.
Then you can be okay. Then you can be pretty good, right? So right now, they don't suck. We'll see how they advance beyond that. I mean, we had Tom Carroll sitting in here predicting the Giants are going to go to the playoffs. I mean, if that's the case on December 1st, that's not an easy game. I don't agree with him, but like, it's an interesting conversation because I do, Brian, I understand where you're coming from, and that I think there's some people in this market that are preemptively setting up takes where if the Patriots win seven games, they're like, whoa, they won three last year. I thought they were going to win six, and here they are with seven. Like, I get,
they've just been bad for too long.
I've seen that. I've heard that. I get it. I just think my prediction is 9. I think if they get to 8, I won't love it, but I think it will be a big step forward.
I've just seen too many teams recently in this similar situation where you bring in a new coach, either have a rookie quarterback or a second-year quarterback, whether it's Washington last year, Houston the year before that, Jacksonville with Trevor Lawrence, who kind of sucks, and who's our Doug
Peterson.
First
year without Urban Meyer, they got kind
of
good.
Doug Peterson, they won a playoff game. Yeah. All three of those teams I just mentioned won at least one
playoff
game.
Speaking of Doug Peterson, that Eagles team won a Super Bowl with him with Carson Wentz and then Nick Foles.
So I look at it and say it's not that crazy for a team to sort of go, you know, that cliche worst to first the next year, right? And everyone's telling me that Vrabel's a really good coach. Everyone's telling me that Drake May is in the top half of the quarterbacks in the NFL. When you have a schedule as easy as you do, like, that should be 9 to 10.
All right, Brian, it's an interesting point, and it's something we'll keep an eye on going forward. And before we go forward, it's going to be time to trend with Brian Frazocco, and then leading up to the Red Sox right after that.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team.
It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.